welcome, guys. This 2 weeks, past 2 weeks, has been so stressful. Really, past 3 weeks. And I haven't done any podcasts. I've had ideas. I had a crime special. I had a film review. Actually, trailer review. Hint, hint for the, I think, next episode. But it has been so busy. I've been doing a lot of things, so I decided finally I'm going to do this podcast today, because some people are wondering if I still have the podcast, and I'm like, yes, I do. It's just that I've been very busy. So welcome to Vaudeville, finally. Episode is impromptu. I do not have a guest, but today's episode is still going to be very exciting. We're going to talk about books. Yeah, you heard me, books. I'm really talking about the books I've read for class, not the books I read for leisure. That's, there are two different aspects of my life. And books I read for class is, well, as an English major, it's totally different. And I had to read a lot. Actually, this year I read 20 books that I can remember. Yay! So I'm kind of going to backtrack, trying to start from the ones I can remember and kind of give them a review. And then I do a different episode where I talk about the books I read for leisure. So starting from the latest one I read, Fences by August Wilson. And no, not the movie. The movie is amazing, with Denzel Washington and the lady from How to Get Away from Murder. How to Get Away with Murder. I think that's the series. I don't watch it. What's her name? She's not Octavia Spencer. Octavia Spencer is the Shape of Water lady. Wow, how did I forget her name? Well, you should know her. She won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for that role. So, well, Fences is an amazing story. I mean, it got me angry at a point, but it's probably about this guy who lives in industrial city, and he works as a garbage lifter, and he actually eventually gets promoted to garbage truck driver. And well, you'd see like the whole Fence thing, how it takes place, because I don't want to spoil it for people who end up reading it in future, or people who get interested in watching or reading it. But you see how everything takes place. But let me just tell you, the guy's name is Troy, and let me just tell you now, you're going to be pissed off with him by the time you like read it or watch it or whatever you do to see it. I mean, Denzel Washington really brings out the character in a more dramatic way, and it's really cool. So yeah, Fences. And I'm going to rate it a 7 out of 10, because while reading it, I didn't understand half of what they were saying. The language was so difficult to understand. They were speaking English, I mean, but as someone who has a different version of English in my head, reading things like that has like a lot of what you call slang, American slang, I'm like lost. I'm like, so what are they saying? I do not understand. So that was kind of difficult for me to read, but I loved it anyway. So I still give it 7 out of 10. Next book, The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde. I love this book. It's very funny. Like, not really from the get-go, but at one point you're like, what the heck are they all doing? And it's about this guy whose name is Jack Worthy. And, well, he tells his girl that his name is Ernest. And the girl loves him because his name is Ernest. And I'm like, what? Why? I mean, and then he doesn't want to tell her that his name is really Jack, so he wants to be christened to change his name to be Ernest. And meanwhile, Algernon, his friend, it's like, how I put it now, he has another personality when he goes to the city, because Jack kind of, his name Jack in the countryside, when you see he's called Ernest. And right, this guy too has this other personality he calls Bombray. And I'm like, oh, what's wrong with all these people? And they meet Cicely, who is waiting forward for her age, and who apparently, well, I don't want to tell you what happens with her and Algernon, but at one point you're like, why is she so dumb? But she's not really dumb, she's just strange. She didn't just leave it that way. Gwendolyn is Gwendolyn, obviously, the lady with the class, and her mum is Lady Bracknell, who's what you call prime and proper in a society. She's that lady. Like, when you imagine someone who's prim and proper, who talks like, you know, queen-like or whatever you call it, she's that person, and she's like so against Jack and Gwendolyn getting married. But when you really are like laughing all through, you can watch it on YouTube, you can watch the play. Well, it's really interesting. You can also watch it on I guess it's on Netflix, something like that. But there's a movie out there, I think it has Colin Firth in it as I think Jack. For it's a great book, and you might kind of not fancy the language because it's more very, you know, serious formal English, but I love it because of that. I don't know, I know how to understand that more than, you know, the slang word, and I love it. But in the review, I'm going to give it an 8. It's very funny, and it has a message coming across, but if you focus really on the story, you miss the message it's trying to say. The next one I'm going to talk about is Oedipus by Sophocles. Well, it's called Oedipus the King or Oedipus Rex, any version you read is still the book. And most people have read this, it's a classic, and it's very strange, very filled with a lot of tragedy. I mean, there is a Nigerian version which I heard before I actually knew Oedipus Rex. I think the gods are not to blame. But the one about they tell this folk tale where they said this guy killed his father and married his mother. Well, that's Oedipus, and it's just filled with a lot of it's so strange. But you should check it out, it's interesting, and I'm going to review it and give it a 6. I mean, I love it. It's something I like, one of the first plays I read this summer. This fall semester, and it was great. I mean, that's Oedipus. The next one I'm talking about is Hamlet, and most people have read this in high school or middle school, or have read it when they were a kid. I read it when I was a child because we had the Hamlet children book or something like that. But yeah, Hamlet, another tragedy, and filled with confusions and whatever. And if you do not know what Hamlet is, it's right about this guy whose father ghost tells him that his uncle killed him, and then now his uncle is married to his own mother. And I'm like, oh, that's just disgusting. So your uncle is now your stepfather, and your mother is like your stepmom and mother. I have no idea. And the whole thing takes a weird turn. Well, at the end, only one person survives, one of the really main characters. Like, everyone dies. Ophelia dies, she drowns herself, or something, or fell into the water. She actually drowned herself. And then there's like a poison sword going on between Laertes and Hamlet himself. And it's just interesting to see. I mean, the whole storyline is very interesting, but it's kind of lengthy, but it's an interesting play to read and to watch. It's more lengthy than any of the other play I've talked about, like the poem being Ernest or Fences or Oedipus. Oedipus is very, it's not that long, but Hamlet is long, like long. I think it had like five acts. Yeah, it did have five acts, and there's this act, I think the second to last act had like seven scenes or something. It's that long. Another one, well, this one I read for my English class is Medea. Medea, not Madea, which is the lady in the movie. Medea, it's Christmas, or Medea Boo. Medea is different. I think her name is actually Medea too. Yeah, it's Medea. I don't know why I call her Medea. I have no idea, but it's by Euripides. This is about this lady who's like kind of getting banished from her city, and she has to take, she wants to take revenge on her husband, because her husband is the reason why she gets banished, because her husband marries other lady, because she herself is like an outcast or whatever, because she's from another city, and she has songs for this guy, and then all of a sudden he just like dumps out of nowhere because he just found this beautiful girl in his city, and after using her to get the golden fleece, oh god, by the time you read it you're going to hate Jason. But at the end, Medea's action, you're like questioning her, like why, you know, like how does that have to do with Jason? I mean, it does have to do with Jason, whatever action she takes at the end. But it's, I guess you can say it's too much. It's just way too much. The next one I'm going to talk about, which is like a compilation of stories, the Canterbury Tales. I read this in the 12th grade. We had to read it for English, obviously, but we only read one aspect of it, actually two aspects of it. We read the general prologue, and which kind of explains everyone that's there, and then we read the Wife of Bath's prologue and tale. And the Wife of Bath, oh, I love the Wife of Bath, the way she talks, you know, about her five husbands and her five marriages and everything, you know, how she loves sex, quote unquote. She's just interesting, I mean. So I read that, but during the summer I had to read the Non-Priest Tale and the Miller's Tale. Those two tales were rather interesting. The Non-Priest Tale, I think it was about a cuckoo bird and chickens, hen and you know, the male chicken, and it's just a weird story, but it has a lesson to it. And yeah, I just realized for Hamlet and Medea I didn't rate them, but I guess Hamlet I'm going to give it a 6. Well, because long, I mean, I like to read long stuff, but like Hamlet, some scenes I'm like, okay, this happening, it's just like kind of boring, and then something you're like, oh my gosh, this happened, oh no, you know. For Medea, I'm going to give it it's 6.5. Why? Because Medea is very complicated in whatever stand you want to see from. I mean, I think at one point people wanted to ban it because it was just so weird. But Medea is interesting. She's an interesting lady, and you root for her until the end. And she's like that hero until the end, when she does that one annoying deed she does, and you're like, why? You know. So 6.5. But the way Euripides puts it, it's just so interesting. I did read a lot of books. I read like 20 books this semester, so this is going to be a very lengthy podcast. The next one I read was The Iliad and the Odyssey by Homer. They are two separate books. Ha! The Iliad has 24 books, which they call like poems inside of it, and it's really about the fall of Troy. If you've watched Troy, that's not a good example of the Iliad at all, but that is kind of like a baseline to understand what's going on in the Iliad. The Iliad is long. And you, and there are so many characters, like over 200 characters in just one book. For that, I'm going to give it a 5. I kind of like the Iliad, but it's long and so many characters to remember, which did not work for me for my test, which is like, oh, this is Achilles, the main hero, and there's Hector, there's Agamemnon, there's Clytemnestra, there's Helen, who for some odd reason kind of slay it all. There's Menelaus, there are a lot of people in it, and you're like, how do I remember all so many characters? Well, you have to do, because it's everyone plays a part. Even there are gods, there's Zeus, there is Hera, there is Ares, there is Aphrodite, or what you call her name, who is one of, like, she is the, at your point the finger, Helen would tell really point the finger at Aphrodite. She's the main cause of this whole thing, all because of the golden apple. So for that, I'm going to give it a 5, but I really recommend you guys to read it. I mean, it's, I'll watch a description of it. There's this YouTube channel, and she's I think it's Overly Sarcastic, or I don't remember, but something like Overly Sarcastic Production, yeah. And they kind of give an animated summary of it all, and it's like pretty cool. The Odyssey is like an epilogue of the Iliad, but focusing on one character, which is Odysseus, aka the Odyssey. Odysseus is just a weird man. I mean, every part of his journey he slept with a lady that wasn't his wife, because apparently he wanted to go back home to his wife, and he slept with a nymph, he slept with this one, he slept with that one, and I was like, dude, wow, that's a lot of women. But yeah, he ends up happily going back to Ithaca, and they're like suitors, line of suitors waiting for his wife, and people want to take his throne, and it's just so strange. I didn't score the Canterbury Tales because, well, there are a lot of tales there, and I had to score each and every one of it, and I have to really review them for you to really understand why I'm giving them a certain score, and I can just score it now because you understand why I picked that score for that particular thing. But yeah, so the Odyssey is way more interesting than Iliad, but actually it is more interesting than Iliad, but not like a lot of battle. I mean, he did blind all the demons. The reason why Polyphemus, the Cyclops, the son of Poseidon, is blind, and that's interesting. So the Odyssey, I give it a 7. It's very interesting to read, and the whole journey is, you're sometimes rooting for him to go home, and sometimes you're like, can they just kill him, can Poseidon finally get him and just, you know, drown him or something. But yeah, then there's Beowulf. Who doesn't have an otter? Beowulf doesn't know, it's not author, it's like a folk tale that they pass from one person to another person to another person to another person. And you know, they, no one knows who created the story, but I actually read it first in 12th grade for English class. I watched an Angelina Jolie movie kind of animation, live action thing for it. It's not how the story was. When I saw the movie, because I saw the movie first, never see a movie first when you read the book. Because your whole mind is blown when you read the book. You're like, wait, what happened? Why isn't this here? Why is that? That is not how it happened, dudes. But anyway, that's how that happened. And Beowulf is about this warrior named, you can guess, Beowulf, yeah. It takes place in Denmark, which I would like to go visit, you know, Copenhagen, and see that mermaid statue. I don't know why that's my dream, but yeah, I like to go, I want to go to Denmark. and there is this monster terrorizing the meat hall, where they, for some odd reason, they party every night. Like, aren't these people tired? The king parties a lot, and this Red Hook comes in because of the noise and beheads a lot of the people there and goes out. You know, it's like their routine. I'm just imagining it, you know. To party, and then the monster comes in. Like, oh, hey, Grendel! Oh, you're here to terrorize. Okay, let me just, like, you know, give you space. Okay, here are the men. The men who I work with, buffet, you know. But the king gets angry at one point, and like, they call Beowulf. And, you know how those kind of stories go. But Beowulf is really interesting to read because it's written in poetry, and I had to read the old English version, which is nothing like the English we speak now. And if you are struggling to read Shakespeare because of the language, Beowulf will blow your mind. Beowulf English is like, wait, how did English go from Beowulf to what we speak now? I'm like confused, but yeah, I love Beowulf. I'm gonna give Beowulf a 7. So far, I don't think I've rated book 8, but that's just how it is. I'm telling you, this podcast is long. I'm already tired, but I have to keep going because I don't want to do round 2 of this. I just want to finally let it go past. The next one is The Wanderer. The Wanderer is a poem I had to read this summer. It's about a wanderer who, for some odd reason, is like the only person there. I don't know why he's just wandering around and he's like the only person, and he's talking about his journey and how, you know, he did bad or something, or the war or something, and that's why he's punished to wander. Like, that's a very sad punishment. I'll give that a 6. It's a good poem, but I thought you have to really read it to really get the key points. The next one I'm going to go through this very fast. The next one is Much Ado About Nothing. Much Ado About Nothing is very funny. It's like this love diamond happening, you know. There's Hero, there's Benedict. Oh, what's the name of that lady? I forgot her name. But like, it's just so weird. Like, there's a kind of love triangle, and well, these two people really hate each other. Beatrice. Her name, Beatrice and Benedict, cannot see eye to eye, and there's the Don Pedro, and the whole thing is just so cool, and I give it like a 7. I mean, the story itself is just very interesting to read. It's a play, and it's Shakespeare, so it has like a lot of acts, but this one you go through so fast. What, faster than Hamlet? The next one is Some Reflection Upon Marriage, which I also read for English. I have like a lot of English readings here, by Mary Estelle. I actually have this project to really review this specific writing and why it's not like a main literature book to read, as it's not in the canon of literature. And I had to explain that, you know, because it talks about, because at that time Mary Estelle is a feminist, and feminism during that time was very early. Like, I'm talking about 1800, like really early 1800s, and you know, late 1700s actually. No. Mary Estelle is like the 17th century, 18th, the 18th century, which is like she's from the late 1600s to the early 1700s, and this one, she wrote it around 1701 or something. And this is about trying to educate women, and she really advocates for women's education, and she's like a boss, you know. I love her. I don't know the way she makes an argument, like, because that time marriage is like the main thing, and everyone has to get married at one point, and women get married very early, and men go to college, and you know, she was like, wait, hold on, why is that? The women don't get an education, you know, it's not womanly to be educated at that time, and she really advocates for it. I get she's going to be someone I'll give an 8 to. Her writing is just so interesting. Like, you nod your head every single time you're reading, like, yes, I understand you. Like, why? You know, you really advocate for her, like you are there, and she's just so interesting. And she inspired other people I read too, like Daniel Defoe, I don't know that's the name, but he's a writer, a poet that I, not poet, but someone who writes prose too, like her, that I read too of that time period. Then Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, oh my god, sorry, really kind of sick, well, still doing it anyway. Sir Gawain and the Green Knight is a weird story. I mean, he has Arthur and his little round table, you know, his round table, and then it's Gawain, and there's this weird green monster that comes. It's just one weird story, but it's really interesting. You follow Sir Gawain in his journey to find this Green Knight, and sometimes at one point he tries to give up, and you know, and you tell him, oh, don't do this, and obviously Sir Gawain does what he wants to. He's a young lad and he just got into the round table, so he's trying to prove his knightship and whatever. So it's really interesting to read. That's, I'm rating that 7.2. I mean, it's good, but yeah, that's it, it's really good. The Dream of the Rue. This is one of the weirdest poems I've read. I mean, it's religious in a way, but you won't see it until you see it. It's kind of like explaining the blood of Jesus Christ. But when you're reading it, you're like, that's why I'm reading this whole thing. But yeah, you'll be surprised, that's what it's about. And it's not that interesting. I really had a tough time reading this because I kind of like read three lines over and over again, and it's really like old English, so that made it so hard to really read it. But I'm going to give this a 5. I don't like it at all in any form, shape or size. It was like a punishment, but I still kind of enjoyed it. Imagine you're reading to work and then you kind of enjoy it but you don't feel like it. That's how this, me and this goes. There's Lay's, not Lay's like chips, but Lay's, I think that's how, L-A-I-S, it's French. It's written by Marie de France. Marie de France is an interesting character, and this her poem is just kind of showing like the single life of someone of that time and how she's in love with this person, and then she doesn't know like if they'll get married, you know. It's just so weird, and you follow her, and this is a very short poem, but it's really, it sticks in your head. I give her a 7. The poem is 7. Well, The Life of King Alfred, it's tiring to read. It talks about the birth of Alfred, like, why do I need to know about Alfred? Well, you kind of see why, how he fought the he fought the Saxons, and he created like the first set of like what we call Vikings now, whatever it's called. And he kind of like created English, you know. He wasn't a reader, but he was kind of like a reader, you know. He didn't learn Latin, and he didn't think he's like learned enough or whatever. I'm going to give this a 6. It was tiring to read, but it has an amazing baseline of the story. The next one I'm going to talk about is St. Gregory's Pastoral Care by King Alfred himself. This was a thorn in my neck. I mean, I understand what he was talking about, but I didn't understand what he was talking about. And I'm like, what are you talking about, you know? But yeah, that's interesting, you know, ish, if you see it from a different point of view. Maybe if I read it for leisure, and I've seen it in another light. I give that a 5. The next one is Day of Destiny by Sir Thomas Malory. Day of Destiny is about King Arthur and his fight with, what's that, his weird, his nephew or something like that. Well, this guy he's fighting with, Mordred, I think that's his name, Mordred or something like that. And I'm like, wow, this is wow. The whole fighting and the spear, and we got to watch it. My dad actually brought a CD where we watched it, and it was interesting. We had to read it though, because there were some things important there, but we still watched it, and it was interesting to watch. Now we're going into history. I read The Graves of Wrath by John Steinbeck. The Graves of Wrath is a very moving story. I loved it. The whole story of how this whole family are surviving. You know, they were farmers, but the Great Depression really affected them, and some people died of the family members died, and I was so sad. And I had like this wave of emotion reading it. And just Steinbeck kind of puts your eyes into that kind of situation, and it's very interesting to read, you know. I loved it. I'm going to give it an 8. You're like, why? You know, The Graves of Wrath. Everyone read The Graves of Wrath at one point in their lives. But this was really my first time reading The Graves of Wrath. I mean, I read Of Mice and Men, I think. Yes, Of Mice and Men. That one is really sad, but that's another story. But yeah, The Graves of Wrath, I give it an 8. The End of Men and the Rise of Women, Hannah Rosin. This book doesn't sound like how the cover puts it. It doesn't exactly talk about like how men they're ending and women are rising, which is not how it is. It's really talking about, like, you know, the difference between time of women then and women now. And like the hookup culture, which I'm like, that's rather interesting that women are doing it. And it's so, I don't know, like you feel kind of like empowered, you know, which is weird. I mean, so women now are getting married later than usual because they're focusing on their studies and their education, and you know, they want to be really something in life, and they're like more women going through college, you know. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense, you know. It's really interesting to read. Some guys might not want to read it because of the cover, but I urge you to read it. It's really interesting. And finally, oh my god, we'll find out the last part of the list. Give Us the Ballot by R.A. Berman. This is really talking about the, like, after the Voting Rights Act that was, you know, signed by Lyndon B. Johnson, and you know, everything after, and how they tried to limit the votes of people of color. And you know, it's very controversial to read, but you could really understand. It's interesting. And The End of Men and the Rights of Women, I'm going to obviously give that an 8. It's just so good. I was stuck on the book like glue, and it's just so interesting. So Give Us the Ballot kind of gives you like more information about things like gerrymandering, and you know, all those kind of things that they try to limit votes, and what they used back then to limit votes, like poll tax and stuff like that. It's just so interesting. I can't believe what I've done. Well, these are the books I remember reading. There's some other ones that for some reason are not on this list, but yeah, that is a good number. And Give Us the Ballot, I'm going to give it an 8. I love it. So that's it, guys. I'm so exhausted and I'm so tired and I feel so sick all at the same time, but I went through it, and this is the longest podcast, guys, but hopefully you stay to the end. It has been like I forgot to announce, it's Vaudeville is 1 month, ta-da! I just imagine me blowing like that kazoo thingy, blowing Bedazies. That, just imagine me doing that right now, even though my nose is like stuffed, but just imagine me doing it. I'm so excited. It's been 1 month and it doesn't feel like 1 month, but it's been 1 month and I love every inch of it. I love talking. It has been great. You know, I've gotten a reception of people that I didn't expect to, and it's just so amazing. And I'm so happy you guys listen. And I hope you guys subscribe, you know, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, because I'm hoping at least 20 reviews. That's the least I'm just expecting, 20 reviews on Apple Podcasts. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I love you guys. Au revoir. Talk to you guys later. Enjoy your weekend and get ready for the Christmas special. I'm going to finally have a guest for that one, and it's not be that long, I hope.